One author writes this. He says, Christian fasting, at its root, is the hunger of a homesickness for God. I think that's good. We fast because we are hungry for God's word and God's spirit in our lives. We fast because we long for God's glory to resound in the church and God's praise to resound among the nations. We fast because we yearn for God's son to return and God's kingdom to come. Ultimately, we fast simply because we want God more than we want anything this world has to offer. You know, I think this is true as we consider those things. Not only do we fast because of all that, but as well, we fast when our lives seem to lack any of that. When spiritually we become dry. When spiritually, rather than a great excitement and a great zeal for the Lord, we've become more apathetic, maybe a bit lethargic toward the things of God. We've become indifferent. We've become unconcerned. When something has been compromised inside of us, when our first love for Jesus maybe has waned, we fast so that the hunger and the longing and the desire for God might return, might be more than it is, even in fact, more than it ever was before. Maybe we could say it this way. We fast because we're hungry for God's word and we're hungry for God's spirit to be at work in us. And we fast because we recognize that we need to be more hungry for God's word. More hungry for God's spirit to be poured out upon us and working every day within us and overflowing out of us to touch those all around us. We fast so that our lives, even our very existence, if you will, is defined by a hunger for the Spirit and the Word. We fast because we long for God's glory to be revealed, not only in His church, but among the nations. And we fast because we recognize we need to long for that more. We fast, as it were, until the heavenly song has become our own song. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever 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 and ever. Amen. And we fast until it's that song that's been taught and is sung throughout all the earth. We fast because we do yearn for God's Son to return and God's kingdom to come. And we fast because we need to yearn more. We have need yet to free ourselves from the entrappings of this world, which I would remind you this morning is not your home. And set our gaze again to the heavens and our hearts to desiring that city whose builder and maker is God. We fast because we want God more. Maybe we could just stop there. We just want God more. We want Him more than anything this world has to offer. And we fast because we recognize we need still to more and better want Him more than anything. The song says it this way, give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Just give me Jesus. David said it simply like this. You, Lord, are all I want. That's it. We fast because that song rings true in our hearts. We fast because there are times when it doesn't ring as true as it should. We fast because David's words might as well be our own. And we fast when they are not enough our own. Fasting. We're preparing ourselves for October 1st and then the month of October that we're setting aside as a season of fasting here at New Life. Last Sunday, we began this series of messages that's going to lead us to that October. We're doing the same on Wednesday nights, and I take just a moment, encourage you, invite you to come out on Wednesday nights. It's not too late. We're only two lessons in, and really, for the most part, each lesson is a standalone one. Never mind that you missed last week. Come this week. You won't be lost. You won't have trouble understanding because you missed lesson one or two. Each week a new thing. Each week a new lesson. And what's presented this Wednesday will no doubt be good for all of us. Through Wednesdays, our Sundays in September, our series of messages focused on fasting to better prepare us for that month of October. Last Sunday we began and we considered fasting as an obedience and faith issue. Fasting is an obedience thing, and fasting is a faith thing, and faith and obedience things are the most important of things in our walk with God. Last week we quoted a couple of times what one of our missionaries said a few weeks back, really resonated in my heart and spirit at the time, even still to this day. God never begins anything in your life until you step out in faith and in obedience. Faith and obedience must absolutely be priorities for us and in us as we walk with the Lord. Hebrews 11, without faith, it's impossible. It's not hard to please God. It's impossible to please God without faith. In John 14, we read the very words of Jesus to his disciples then, to us, his disciples today. The revelation clear. Listen to me. We cannot claim to love him if we are not obeying him. I know our tendency is to think, yes, we can. Well, I'm just disobeying God in this little area, but I really still love him. And what Jesus tells us is, no, you cannot say that. John 14, if you love me, Jesus says, you will obey what I command. Faith and obedience are imperative, of huge consequence in our Christian lives. And God responds. He honors, he rewards our faith and obedience. You know, I was thinking this week and in preparing for the message, how we're sometimes inclined to question that. Really, we doubt that. We've obeyed. We've stepped out in faith, we even fasted, but we don't see that God honored it at all, rewarded us anything. We stepped out, but God didn't seem to step in at all into the circumstances of our life. I think it's important here that we all be reminded, but God has said that he will honor us and reward us. And what God says is always true. He is the God who cannot lie, after all. The problem then surely is not with God or his word, but rather with us. You know what happens? I think we hear something like that. God honors, God rewards. I think we hear that, and then though the problem and our mistake, we want to define what that means for us. And what that looks like for us. Let me just quickly give you an example, and the one I thought of relates to giving, though we could probably relate it to many different things. Just a for example, you give God the tithe that belongs to him. God will open the windows of heaven over your life. That's God's word. It's true. There's no way around it, no way to argue with it. God has said it. It's true. But we're often left wondering, but is it really? We gave, but we didn't get. But therein lies the problem. Did you catch it? We gave, but then we defined God's blessing on us. We, in fact, limited God's blessing on us. We gave the $100 on Sunday, and we defined God's blessing then to be for us the unexpected $1,000 check in our mailbox on Monday morning. And when it didn't come and when it doesn't happen like that, I stand here and tell you that as you give to God, he'll give back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I stand here this morning and tell you that as you give to God, he'll open the windows of heaven over you and over your life. I stand here and tell you that you cannot ever outgive God. I stand here and tell you exactly what God himself has told us in his word, but you don't believe it. You don't think it's true because there was no Monday money in your mailbox. Do you see what happens? We put stipulations, we put limits on how God must bless us. We put a demand on God that he must bless us. must do for us a certain way or give us a certain thing, but we can't do that. Nevertheless, all too often, that's exactly what we're inclined to do. And in the end, it serves only to hurt us. Because in the end, ultimately, it makes us to doubt and question God. And we doubt and we question His word and His promises and even, in fact, His authority. But again, it's not something that God has done wrong. We have. We've taken things too far. The reality is this: your faith, your obedience, God will respond to you. God will honor you. God will reward you. The what? The how? The when? That's His business, not yours or mine. And just a quick side note, that's not the TV preacher's business either. Give your $77 and in 7 days, God will bless you with your 777, because seven, after all, is the perfect number of completion, and God, after all, is perfect and complete. Listen, you give your $77 if you're so inclined, but don't be afraid to include a little message. Hey, TV preacher, that's not your business. You can't do that. You can't put God in a corner, make Him to say that He has to bless you or me a certain way or reward us a certain way. I would remind you this morning, you don't boss God. I would remind you, as I had to remind Sabella this last week. She walked in, we were getting ready for devotions, and she was arguing about something. I had to remind her who the parent was and who the child was. I had to remind her who the adult was and who the kid was. I have to do it with Denny all the time. Hey, I'm the adult. You don't argue with me. I'm the parent. You don't boss me. I boss you. I would remind you this morning, you don't boss God. You don't. You can't put demands on Him. He's the creator. We're the creation. Don't forget your place with Him. Your role is to be faithful and obedient. His is to reward. You can't put God or His blessings in a corner. You can't manipulate Him. You can't twist His arm to make Him cave into your demands. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can trust His word. And His word is this: you step out in faith. You live the life of obedience. And God will step into your life. And He will respond to you. And He'll honor your faith. And He'll reward you for your obedience. With that premise set, we then return to fasting. Fasting fits in to that faith and obedience topic. Fasting is a faith and obedience issue. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus' teaching on fasting included that little four-letter word that we talked about last Sunday. Makes a huge difference compared to what Jesus could have said, the words He could have used. Jesus says this: when you fast. In Luke chapter 5, but the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, them being us. And in those days, they being us, they will fast. It's a command. It's an expectation. It's a demand that the Lord has put upon us, that we would be a fasting people. I want to say it this way to you this morning, although here I want to take October out of the equation. I'm not talking about October just now. I hope that we'll all participate in our October fast. It is a corporate fast, by the way. That means it's a church family fast. It's good for all of us to find a way to participate, but I don't want to sound manipulative, so I'm going to take that out of the equation. And in light of what we read in Matthew 6, and in light of what we read in Luke chapter 5, I'm going to put it to you this way this morning: to consider to fast or not to fast is really for you to consider to obey Him or not to obey Him. Fasting is an obedience issue. Scripture is clear. The Lord expects that we would be a fasting people. Fasting is a faith issue. We believe, we have faith that God rewards and honors fasting. Fasting makes a difference. Things happen when we fast. We have faith that believes that. We have faith that believes God responds, honors, and rewards. Fasting, a faith and obedience thing. God commands of us, prioritizes within us, faith and obedience. Scripture is clear. We must be a faith people. We must be an obedient people. Fasting fits into that. Fasting a part of that. So in the end, we must be a fasting people. And last Sunday, we talked about that. That's our response. God commands that we're a people that walk by faith and live in obedience. What do? Well, ultimately, we do exactly as he commands. We walk by faith. We live the life of obedience. Fasting fitting into that. God expects it. God demands it. God commands it. So what do? We fast. And in turn, what does God do? God honors that. God responds to that. God rewards us for that. Because that's what God does. God obligates himself to his word, and his word is very clear. God honors and rewards you for your faith and obedience. Fasting is a faith and obedience thing. God rewards you for those. He rewards you for the latter. God rewards you for your fasting. God honors your fasting. You step out in a commitment to fast. You can rest assured somehow, some way, in a very good way, God in turn is going to step into your life. Listen to me, I think of that as it relates to our lives. I believe it with all my heart. I wish I could just give you a glimpse inside of my spirit and how excited I am. I'll tell you this morning, your November, your December, on into the new year that's not too far away. I can't tell you exactly what it's going to look like. That's not my job. That's not my responsibility. The reward is need-to-know basis, and I don't need to know. God does. It's above my pay grade. God does that. I can't tell you what it's going to look like. Pastor, I'm fasting so that I get that new job. Pastor, I'm fasting so that I get that healing. Pastor, I'm fasting so that I get that financial breakthrough and blessed, live debt-free. I can't tell you whether or not God's going to do that. I'll tell you this, he sure could very well do exactly that for you. You better believe it. You don't think God can heal you? You better believe that God can heal you. You don't think that in response to your fasting and prayer, God could very well step into your life and grant to you the desires of your heart as it relates to work? You don't think that in response to your prayer and fasting, God could step into your life and even in the span of 1 month or 31 days, provide for you the financial miracle that would set you free from the entanglements of debt? You better believe God can do that. That's the kind of God we serve. He is a miracle-working God. Can I remind you of that this morning? Those are exactly the things that he does for we as people. You're the apple of his eye. Listen to me. Why wouldn't he heal you? You're his son. You're his daughter. Why wouldn't he provide? Are you a better parent than God? Any one of us in this room, your kid needs something. Oh, man, I'd give it if I had it. I'm going to give it because I do have it. Are you a better parent than God? Of course he wants to bless you. He wants to heal you. Is your heart not broken when you see a family member in the hospital sick? Do you not wish that, oh, I wish I could just do something to get them out of that sickness and out of that pain? God wants to. I know we live in a day of crazy Christianity that has made us to be wary of going to extremes like we see so prevalent in our world today. But listen, I'm not going to shy away from it. I'm going to tell you this morning, God wants you healed in Jesus' name. God wants you blessed. You better believe it. That's what you've heard from your pastor, not just the TV preacher. God wants you blessed. God wants to provide for you. God wants to show you the extravagance of his goodness and grace. Why wouldn't God do for you any, even all of it? You better believe he would. Now, is he going to? I have no idea. But I do know this, based on the authority of God's word, how God does, what God does, we won't know it until he does it, but we can sure know this, our lives will be honored and rewarded by God. You better believe in how you spend your month of October, the reward of your Heavenly Father, going to be all over your life, even right off the bat, in October, on into November, into December. Listen, you better believe in February, you're still going to be receiving the goodness of God from what you did back in October, in March, in April, in May. Listen, I know going without is never pleasant, especially in the culture of our day. Going without food can be the most unpleasant of things to consider. But I'm telling you, you can be excited this morning. You can rejoice in the opportunity to give up for God, knowing that in turn, He's going to respond. He's going to step in. He's going to reward you. He's going to honor you. And His reward is going to be all over your life for months to come. That's what God does, because God honors His word, and His word declares it. That was last Sunday, faith and obedience. Can I just add before we move on, and I don't mean for the rerun, the repeat of the message, but let me just share with you my heart. I truly hope and pray that all of us, every single one, would find a way to participate. I really do. I hope you're already thinking what you can do through the month of October. Somehow, some way, you're going to be involved. I truly believe that God has led us here. Listen to your pastor this morning. I truly believe that God has led us as a church to this, that we would devote the month to fasting for Him. I truly believe that God has great things in store for us. It's a corporate fast, after all. If New Life is your church home and your church family, really the question, why wouldn't you join with us? It's not a personal fast. I'm not telling you what I'm doing and saying, hey, if you want to join in, join in. I'm saying I believe God has led us to a corporate church family fast. I pray that you would find a way to participate, but I'll share with you this. Maybe I'd say it this way. My real hope, my most desperate prayer, is that fasting becomes a regular part of our spiritual lives. Fasting through the month of October is wonderful. But remember the message. Fasting is a faith and obedience thing. And faith and obedience is not just for the month of October. Faith and obedience is for every month. Therefore, fasting has its place in every month. What are you going to do to step out in faith and live the life of obedience related to fasting come December? What are you going to do in January, in February? My desperate desire, my deepest prayer, God, may it not just simply be a box that we check. Oh, I did it. I fasted. I participated. I'm good to go until Pastor gets the next crazy idea for all of us to go without food. Listen, that's the worst thing that could happen. Rather, instead, in light of last Sunday, something takes hold in your life and in mine, and we're to be a fasting people because we're to be a faith and obedience people. And so what we determined to be is to do is to be a fasting people and to make fasting to be a regular part of our spiritual lives. Faith and obedience, fasting fits into that. God wants us to be that, so we are to be that. We're to be a faith people. We're to be an obedient people. We're to be a fasting people. And Scripture is clear. Scripture is true. As we begin to do that, you step out in faith, you live the life of obedience, you commit your life to the discipline of fasting and prayer, your Heavenly Father will see you as you do, and He will reward you as you do. This morning, what I want is to take us a little into the details of fasting, if you will, more specifically for us today, the purpose of fasting. Why is it that we fast, even more specifically for us as a church? Why is it that we're going to spend the month of October fasting? Why is it that you and I need to be making fasting a regular part of our lives? One pastor, in fact, it's our pastor, it's our book on Wednesday night, he defines fasting this way. Fasting is deliberately abstaining from food for a specific period of time for a spiritual purpose. That's a good definition, a very simple, easy to understand definition of fasting. Let me just add for a moment, because very common in our day is to include fasting that would be applied to other things beside food. Maybe you've talked to different people, maybe you've gone on such a fast yourself. I'm going to fast from the television. I'm going to fast from the internet. I'm going to fast from this other hobby. I'm going to fast from the Facebook. I'm going to take the month. I'm going to take the week, whatever it is. And though I would say those things are perfectly good and acceptable, the reality is, scripturally, when we read of fasting, it relates to food. Fasting is not just a Christian thing. Fasting is not just a biblical thing. You will find fasting prevalent in other religions. Almost always, you'll find it related to food. Not that other things aren't included. They maybe would be. But fasting relates to food. It's interesting, if you were to go home and get on your computer and Google fasting, probably some of the first results you would see would actually have nothing to do with your spirituality. But they would speak of the health benefits of fasting. Obviously, thinking of what? Food. You going a time without food. That being said, for our month of October, I'm going to ask you to find something that you would fast related to food. Certainly feel free to add other things. I've even begun to think of other things that I might include in my fast through October. But I want you to be thinking, what of your diet, what of your eating routine can you fast? It's good to add the other things. It's good to be careful. It's a season of fasting and God ministering. Don't let that be compromised by too much TV watching or too much doing other things that are unrelated to time spent with the Lord and letting the Lord speak to you. Apart from the spiritual perspective, I thought it funny because our study on Wednesday night, the book, the author mentioned he doesn't like watching TV while he's fasting, not so much for the spiritual purpose of it. There's just too many food commercials. He's trying to stay strong. And it's all you can eat shrimp month at Red Lobster. And there goes the fast, because that's a God thing right there, right? God wants me to go and enjoy all you can eat shrimp. So all of a sudden the fasting can be compromised. We can make it easier on ourselves if we sort of avoid those situations. Fasting, abstaining from food, period of time, spiritual purpose. Maybe we could say it this way. Spiritual purpose. How about this? We could define it like this: for the purpose of drawing near to God, for the purpose of communicating with and hearing better from God, for the purpose of encountering more of God. To take you back to the beginning, fasting is at its root a hunger of a homesickness for God, hungry for God's word, God's spirit in our lives. We fast because we long for God's glory in the church and out of the church. We fast because we yearn for God's Son to return, God's kingdom to come. We want God more. We want more of God. More our hearts inclined to praise and to worship Him as we should. More the yearning for Jesus, for the kingdom to come and the will to be done. We abstain from food. Ultimately, we want God more than anything else that this world has to offer us. Bottom line, we want Jesus. And that's our message this morning. You and I, even we as together as a church, we will fast for many things. There'll be many reasons we give for fasting. We're fasting for direction, guidance. We're fasting for the miraculous. This morning, just in prayer, before we came in back in the office, me and Marshall and Sharon were there for our time of just quick prayer before service. And Sharon mentioned her knee bothering her in just a few minutes to pray for her, believing that in result, in anticipation even of the fasting, that God is going to begin to do more and more and more of the miraculous in our midst. We're fasting for the salvation of our loved ones, for our friends, for our family. We're fasting for God's blessing and favor. We're fasting for victory and deliverance. Yesterday, Jenny, we took the girls and for the Together for Good Day, and we did the walk with them. I think it was just under three walks. We just sort of walked the city and the area where Teen Challenge is. And at part of it, we came to just a little grassy area, park area, and we prayed. And the prayer was that God would heal and God would show mercy and God would set free those addicted to drugs and any and everything else. And one of the comments was, so many believe that heroin or drugs, it's a life sentence, but we don't believe that. We believe that because of Jesus, we can be set free. Amen? There is no health situation that is a life sentence. I don't care what your doctor says about the sugar trouble or the blood pressure. Can I remind you, we believe in a God who says, but I can set you free. I can heal you from that. It's not a life sentence to go through the remainder of your life always discouraged. Oh, well, worry happens in my family. Worry is a trait in my family. No, God sets us free from that. Well, I'm always going to be mourning. I'm always going to be grieving. No, the promise of Scripture, even in our grief, God can restore to us the joy of His salvation. Don't miss your destiny in Jesus. Don't miss the life that Jesus has died so that you can have in Him. I think of that as it relates to your fasting. You might decide to fast for the drug addiction problem that's rampant, not only through the city of Flint, but all over the nation. You might go big. You might fast. We prayed for Jerry this morning. You might be fasting for the sex trafficking problem that is a worldwide one. You might be fasting. You know what? The Lord might lay on your heart the foster care system in America. And you'd be praying and you'll be fasting that God would bring into homes and stir within the hearts of His people to bring in those kids. Who knows what God might lay on your heart? We'll fast for many things. Many things will make up our list, but they will all fall under this one thing. We want God. More than anything else, more than anything this world could offer us, we want to know Him. We want to hear from Him. We want to encounter and experience His presence. We want to encounter and experience His glory, all the glory of our most glorious God. We want a fresh vision again of God's glory. We want to encounter and experience His power, even like we never have before. We want, like Paul wanted in Philippians 3, all I want is to know Christ and experience the power of His resurrection, to share in His suffering and become like Him in His death. We want God. We want to know Him. We want to see Him. We want His word. We want His word of guidance for our lives. We want His word of direction. We want His word of wisdom. We want Him. We want His plan. We want His good and perfect plan for our lives. We want to know His good and perfect will. We want to live in His good and perfect will for us. We want His blessing. We want His favor. We want His healing power to flow into our lives. We want His spirit. One says this, when you're denying your physical nature, it opens you more fully to the Spirit's touch. It's easier to hear the Spirit's voice as fasting helps shut out the world about you. We do not manipulate or command the Spirit, but we become increasingly available to Him as we fast and pray. He's able to say new things to us, to have new access to us. He can clothe us more fully and prepare us to be used more freely. Oh, how we desperately want, how we desperately need more of the Spirit. We want more of His Spirit's fruit produced in us, more of His Spirit's giftings manifested in us. We want to stay more and better in step with the Spirit. We want our lives filled with His Spirit, filled to overflowing. We want His anointing. His sweet and precious anointing that enables us to do far, far more than we could ever do simply on our own. We want renewal. We want revival in our relationship with Him. The truth of the matter is we grow cold and stagnant in our walk with the Lord. The truth of the matter is we get used to the routine of Bible reading, the routine of prayer, the routine of Sunday morning church. And I'm just going to tell you this morning, God is not impressed with your routine. God wants your heart stirred towards Him. God wants your heart for, you know it just like I do. There have been many Sundays that we've been here because of routine. And we thought, oh, God must be impressed. I don't really want to be here. I'm not really here. My mind's 1,000 places else. And I'm telling you, no, you're wrong. God wasn't impressed at all. He wants our heart turned to Him. That's the thing that that's the thing that God feeds on. Our heart's desire for Him. And let's just be honest. Let's say it the way it is. We're not always there. Listen to this. Fasting is a constant means of renewing yourself spiritually. That's why we fast, because we want to be renewed and revived. We want what He wants. We want to worship Him. We want to magnify Him as He alone deserves. This is why we fast, simply put, because we want Jesus. We need Jesus more and more of Jesus. Fasting matters. Things happen when we fast. In fact, I'm going to say it a bit stronger. There are some things that will not happen in you that will not happen for you apart from committing yourself to the discipline of fasting. Consider it this morning. Maybe aspects of God's goodness. Maybe the fullness of God's goodness that you cannot experience. Things of His goodness God wants you to know. And God wants you to have. But you can't. You can't have it. You can't know it. You can't apart from fasting. Apart from a season of fasting. Maybe there are aspects of God's character that God wants to reveal to you. That He wants you to know about Him. But you aren't ready. And you can't be ready and you won't be ready for that revelation apart from fasting. Apart from a season of fasting. Maybe there are aspects of God's power. Can you imagine it this morning? That God can't demonstrate for us, nor in us, nor even through us, apart from a life that includes the discipline, the regular discipline of fasting. So often in the church, we've been told faith. You got to have faith. We need more faith. You turn on Christian TV any and every time. You got to have faith. If you have faith, if you just believe, I'm here to tell you. But what if America doesn't have a faith problem? What if America has a fasting problem? And what if we're still missing the demonstration of God, though we've been taught faith and preached faith and pursued faith all along, still missing the demonstration of God's power? Because in the end, after all, though faith is important and a priority, again, last Sunday's message, maybe in fact, after all, we don't have a faith problem, we have a fasting problem. And God just can't demonstrate His power in us like He would desire to, because we as His people have turned our hearts and our minds away from even the idea that going without God would honor and God would reward and reveal to us. We seek the Lord. That's why we fast. David says it in Psalm 27, when you said, "Seek my face," my heart said to you, "Your face, O Lord, I will seek." Don't you want to experience all that there is to experience of God? Isn't that your heart's cry this morning? That's why we fast, so that we can have all and know all and experience all there is to have and know and experience of Him. Within us, there's a hunger of a homesickness for God. We want Him. We want more of Him. We want more of Him more than we want anything else. And this morning, I take you just once more to the reward of fasting. Our message then really becomes for us this. We understand more and better the purpose of fasting. The purpose of fasting, what is it? We seek God. And we recognize again then the great reward of fasting. This morning we zero in a little bit better, a little bit more on what exactly that is for us. The purpose, we seek Him. The reward, we find Him. The testimony of Scripture could not be more clear for us. Deuteronomy chapter 4. But if from there you seek the Lord your God, Moses to the people, God's word, I'm going to give you two things. I'm going to give you my law. I'm going to give you my plan. You're going to be my people. There's two things. Number one, you can receive it. You receive it. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to work in you. You're going to be my people. I'm going to be your God. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to watch out for you. When there's lack, I'm going to send the rain. Harvest is going to be abundant. When the enemy attacks, I'm going to fight the battle for you. It's going to be good, good, good. Option number two, you can reject me. You can chase after other things and you can chase after other gods. You can choose to disobey me. If you do, there's going to be a consequence. If you do, you're not going to come under my favor and blessing. You're going to come under my punishment. And what God says, I'm going to send in the other nations there, and I'm not going to protect you. And I'm not going to fight that battle for you. And they're going to scatter you across the face of the earth. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now you're scattered. You messed up. You chose poorly. Now, when from there, look at it, you seek the Lord your God, you will find Him if you look for Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Can I just say to you this morning, you may feel you're in an abandoned place. You may feel that you're in a forgotten place. You may feel that you're in an exiled place. You may feel that you're in a place of punishment because you have messed up. Let's just say it the way it is. You have sinned. You have rebelled. You have disobeyed God. I'm here to tell you the word of the Lord this morning, just as it was for Israel, so it is for you. Even from there, you can seek God. And if you begin to seek Him, even in that place of abandonment, that place of exile, that place of punishment, that forgotten place, even from there you seek Him with all your heart. Listen to me. You will find Him. Proverbs 8, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. Jeremiah 29, I'll come to you, fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Give you hope and a future. You'll call upon me and come and pray to me, and I'll listen to you. You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Matthew 5, Jesus says it this way. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. The promise of Scripture is clear. We begin to seek the Lord, we'll find the Lord. The Lord will make Himself known to us. We will seek Him, He will reveal Himself to us. We will hunger and thirst for Him in fasting. We'll set aside food in order to pursue Him. And Lord will honor that. The Lord will bless that and reward us then by filling us with Himself. I was thinking of it in light of 2 Chronicles chapter 16. I was thinking of it this way. You begin to seek God, and God begins to seek you. Think of that in light of this. For the eyes of the Lord search back and forth across the whole earth, looking for people whose hearts are perfect toward Him, so that He can show His great power in helping them. Can you imagine it for a moment? I put it in this context with this picture. God from heaven, His eyes roaming to and fro. To whom can I show my power? To whom can I show my grace, my favor, my blessing? Who can I call to stand in the gap? Who can I send to proclaim my word and advance my kingdom? And He's looking, and His eyes roaming to and fro over the who? Who is it? Who is it? Who can I show power? Who can I show my glory? Who can I pour my Spirit out upon? Who can I do in? Who can I do through? And how about this? In fasting and prayer, as we begin to seek God, as we begin to turn our eyes to Him, God turns His eyes to us. There. That one. I see that church. I see you, New Life. I see you seeking after me. I'm looking. Who? My power. I want to show my power. I want to pour out my glory. I want to pour out my... Who? Where can I go to do that? Who can I find upon whom to do that kind of... Oh, I see you, New Life. I see you seeing me. I see you looking to me. And now, I'm going to look to you. You're the one. I'm going to pour my Spirit out on you. I'm going to pour my grace out on you. I'm going to give you a fresh vision of my glory and my power. I'm going to reveal to you the abundance of my love and the extravagance of my grace. You're the one that I'm going to visit in a new, profound, divinely miraculous kind of way. As we seek God, we find Him. Here's the promise of your commitment to fast. You'll find God. Just qualify that quickly. Listen to me. Fasting is not dieting. Fasting is seeking God. Don't forget that. Through the discipline of going without, sacrifice, prayer, offering our bodies to God, the living out of this reality, God, you're more important to me more than anything in this world, more important to me than even food, the very necessity of life. Listen, if you just go without food, considering it good for you and your health, you just go without food so that you can say, yeah, I did my part. So you forego the cup of coffee every morning, the snacks through the day, the lunch and the dinner. If it's just that, you're not seeking God. I would encourage you, drink the coffee, enjoy the snacks, have a big breakfast and wonderful lunch. Because if it's just that, you've missed everything about the purpose of fasting. And fasting has lost its real power in you. And for you, the purpose is to seek God. God, I seek you. You're more important than the coffee. Of course you are. But Lord, I'm going to show you by going without so that I can seek you and your power and your guidance, your will for my life, your blessing upon my family, your salvation, your glory. I'm going to go without so that I can seek you for the nation, so that I can seek you for the drug addict, so I can seek you for the sex traffic. Lord, I'm going to seek you for the orphan, for the widow. I'm going to seek you for my church. I'm going to seek you for your church in America and throughout even the world. God, you're more important to me than the breakfast, the lunch, the dinner, the snack. Of course he is. But in fasting, we decide, I'm going to do more than just say it. God, I'm just going to do more than tell you are. I'm going to show you are. Here, watch me as I give that up so that I can instead pursue you. We do that, we get fasting right. And when we get fasting right and we're seeking God through it, the promise of Scripture, you'll find him. Light of all God does, you will experience his guidance, experience his power, his glory afresh and anew. You'll encounter his grace and his mercy, his favor, his blessing, his goodness, his kindness. You'll know him better than you've ever known him before, because that's what God does. For those who seek him, he makes sure that he is found by them. It's the illustration I always use. You've heard it many times. Take you back to the days when your kids were little, playing hide and seek with a toddler. If you've ever done that, I think of it with all of our kids. Little kids don't know how to hide. So there they lay on the couch, sprawled out for everyone to see, but they put that little blanket over their head, and they think they're hidden from the entire world. And you step out, or you've closed your eyes, and now you come in, and you see them. There they are. And you're thinking like an adult. You're thinking, well, they've hidden. I want it to be good for them. I want them to think that they've hidden well. So for us, all of our kids, oh, I wonder, is Denny here behind the couch? Is Emma here behind the chairs? Christian over here laying in the basket? And if you've ever played with the toddler, you've always discovered it's not like playing with a grown-up, because for a toddler, the thrill is not in the hiding. The thrill is being found. And off comes the blanket. No, I'm not behind the couch. I'm not in the basket. Here I am, Dad. Here I am. I'm telling you this morning, it thrills God for you to find him. In fasting, we're seeking him. We're saying no to the complacency. We're saying no to anything less than that first love passion for the Lord. We're seeking him, his face, who he is, what he does, what he gives. We want him, his guidance, his direction, his wisdom, his power, his presence. And listen to me, the reward, the blessing of fasting. Fasting's good for you. You know what you're going to get by fasting? You're going to get healthier. You know what you're going to get? You're going to get more energy. You give your digestive system a break. As you stop some of those foods that you're going to discover all along has sort of had an ill effect on you, some of those toxins released out of your body, you're going to be re-energized by it all. Fasting, you're probably going to get a lot. But we do fasting right. You know what you're going to get? You're going to get God. This last August, and I finish quickly, this last August there were some things different for our family, some things that we had come to expect, sort of plan for as it related to the fall and the school year. And we just sort of had gotten used to it, and it was always a great blessing and a great help. We never took it for granted in a negative sense, but we just gotten used to things. And this we were without, and we were wondering, what are we going to do? How's it going to work? And we had just sort of settled, you know what, it's not going to happen, and we're just going to have to make do, and we're just going to have to take care of things the best we can as they come. And then in August, $1,000 gift given to us. And this was even before, of course, obviously before September. Fasting was on the mind and on the calendar, but there was just an immediate sense of God speaking to my heart. I'm doing this in response to your commitment to fast. And it's an amazing in a lot of ways, because we're not even fasting yet. It was like the Lord saying, this is just a down payment. You think this is something. You haven't even fasted yet. You think of what I can do and what I might do and able to do on the other side of a month long of fasting. This is just a deposit of what I'm about to do. I think God has begun to do some things in the church of restoring and working among us already. And every time things are happening, there's just a sense, do you see what I'm doing? You've just put fasting on the calendar. That's all you've done. Just by putting it on the calendar, I'm responding favorably to you. I'm blessing. I'm showing you my goodness. I'm showing you my power. I'm helping you. You haven't even done it yet. You haven't even started. This morning, I want to be very, very clear in reminding you, God's going to do great things for you. I'm believing for financial miracles. I'm believing for healing power to flow. God to change our lives and change our circumstances. But hear me very, very closely this morning. That's not the reward. Not the real reward. $1,000, you better believe I'm glad for it. You better believe that's a reward, but it's not the real reward. God begin to restore. God miraculously heal you. Supernaturally provide. I'm just going to tell you, and I hope you don't forget it. That's not the real reward. The real reward, God is that. He gives of you himself. Who's God? Well, he's the all-powerful God, so God's going to do some powerful things in your life. But the powerful thing's not the reward. Who's God? He's a God that blesses you. You better believe he blesses you in abundance. But that's not the reward. He is. He's the God that heals you. But the real reward is not the healing. The real reward is God. May we never forget that in our time of fasting. You seek him, you find him, you find more. Isn't it true? The only thing better than something good is more of something good. It's not a good illustration for fasting, but the only thing better than food is more food. Come on, somebody. I know we're not greedy. We don't worship the God of money. But it's true. The only thing better than money is more money. How about it? God's glory. Oh, that's good. I've got something better. There's more of God's glory for us to have. God's power. Good. But there's better because there's more of God's power. There's more of God's spirit. There's more of his love, his guidance, his direction, his blessing and goodness. And we want that. Doesn't it resonate in your spirit? I want that. I want the more of him. I want the more of all of him. If that's not your prayer, I pray that you make it your prayer today, and that as it is and becomes your prayer, I leave you with the good news that is this. It's the reward of fasting. God always answers that prayer. And he always answers in the affirmative. Yes. I say that on the authority of Scripture. You begin to seek with all your heart. God, I want more of you. God will say, yes. God, I want more of your power. You're telling me, I was just last Sunday I met you in power. You're telling me that's not good. You're telling me you want more than that. Yes. I will give you more of my power. God, I want more of your spirit. I want more of your grace. I want more of your strength. I want more of your guide. God, I want more of you. Yes. You can have that. You can have more of me. Fasting, the purpose, we seek him. The reward, we find him. The reward, we get him. Father, I thank you today for your word and the reminder to us. May we not forget this morning why it is we fast. I know that there will be a lot of reasons, lot of things that we will think of as we go to fasting. But Lord, the reminder for us, they will all fall under this one main thing. God, we simply want you, more of you, all that you are and all that you do. And Lord, we thank you. I pray that you stir within this people, if it's not already there, an excitement like you've put within my heart and my spirit. Oh, what October's going to look like, what November's going to look like, December and January, what all of 2019 is going to look like for us. What you're going to do in our family. What you're going to do in our walk with you. What you're going to do to use us. How you're going to call us. How you're going to bless us. What you're going to do in us financially. What you're going to do in us physically. What you're going to do in this church. What you're going to do in this church to reach this community. How you're going to grow this church. How you're going to pour out your spirit upon this church. Oh, how exciting to consider the reward. We seek you in fasting, and the reward promised and assured, we find you, we get you, all you are and all you do in us and for us.